Hello and welcome to The Ordinary Knitter, the podcast that's mostly about the projects. This week, undoing three needle bind-off, Rico sock stop, new yarn, and Christmas knitting progress. Hello and welcome to episode 34. My name is Heather. I'm The Ord Knitter on Twitter. I'm at The Ordinary Knitter on Instagram and at Ordinary Knitting on Ravelry. Here we are again. It's now less than a fortnight to Christmas. It's that time in the year where everything that you're planning to do or thinking about doing or that you're obliged to do is all in relation to Christmas. Now, it's before Christmas, after Christmas, this year, next year, so on and so forth. My children break up from school on Friday, so that means that anything that has to be done away from the possible prying eyes has to be done this week. So it's all feeling a bit pressurised at the moment, but I find it hard to believe that anybody gets to this stage ahead of a really big event, whether it's a cultural festival like Christmas or an equivalent, or whether it's a wedding or something like that, and doesn't feel horribly pressurised, even the most organised people. Although, having said that, two mums at school yesterday were both saying they were completely ready for Christmas, completely. And I felt a combination of respect and awe and envy and total inadequacy, really. But anyway, perhaps I can do some things they can't. And something that I really don't seem to be able to do at all is knit a hood on a jumper that actually fits. You may recall a few months ago I started knitting a jumper for my son that had a Doctor Who theme. Just prior to that, being very organised and knitting out of season, I had made for my son the Lawrence jumper by Barocco Design Studio, and I really like it. He wore it the other day, and every time he wears it, I think that's just really, really suits him. It's a lovely style, quite simple, but lovely style, and it just suits him. And it was such a nice fit that I knew he wanted another jumper. He had chosen some yarn a while previously. He quite a purple colour that he wanted, and I knew that he wanted Doctor Who motifs on it, and because I couldn't find a ready-to-go pattern for that, I decided to base the proportions for the main part of the jumper on Lawrence, but omitting the garter stitch yoke, putting in the Doctor Who design, making it two block colours, and adding a hood. None of which was in the pattern. So I had to sort of make it up as I went along, essentially. The chart I already had, I had downloaded there from I know not where. Nowadays, when I download something, I make much clearer notes, or if I've printed it out and stuck it in a folder, I make clear notes, largely for the benefit of the podcast, so that I can make sure I give credit where credit is due. But things that I downloaded over the last two or three years, I probably wouldn't have done that, which is why I can't always give credit where it's due. So I had this chart already, but I had to modify it a bit because to have used the elements as they were charted, they would have been far too big for this jumper. So I modified them a bit. I was pleased with the result. And in a way, that was the easy bit because I started from the hem, the welt, upwards. So it was all going fine, shaped for the armholes. And then I got to the point where I knew I was going to have to start dividing at the front because this was ultimately going to go up into a hood. The original Lawrence jumper has a small stand-up collar, which it's lovely, but it's not what I needed for this. So I had previously made my son a hoodie, and I would have loved to have just used the proportions for that, but it only goes up to about age 5 and he's nearly 8. But I copied the principle, so that was all fine. It went surprisingly well, in as much as I had the anatomy of what I was trying to do in my head, and then I had to do the hood. So I picked up for the hood, as it's not always the way, but it's quite common to do that. And then I just had to make sure that I made it roughly the right size. So I would try this on my son. He looked like some sort of medieval knight in a tabard because I hadn't seamed the arms and the side at this stage. So we'd sort of put this thing on and it would dangle off him. And I would hold the sides of the hood up against his head, basically thinking, right, when there's enough there that they can meet in the middle on the top of his head and be stitched up without it really, you know, having any sort of pulling at all on his head. Obviously, you want the hood to be a comfortable, relaxed fit. Then I will bind it. So this is essentially what I did, but it was immediately apparent once it was all finished that the hood was far too big. He had a bit of an Obi-Wan Kenobi thing going on, which is kind of good because he likes Star Trek. This is how I tried to sell it to him anyway. But the reality was that he just felt embarrassed that the hood was so enormous. It was sort of pooling on his shoulders, you know, like a cloak effect, which was not what I had intended. And I kept saying to him, okay, it's fine. I'll sort it out for you. I'll sort it out for you. And I got to the point a couple of weeks ago where I just had to do it. So it hadn't necessarily been intentional to use three needle bind off for anything other than a useful way of binding off when you've got live stitches on two needles. But this is what I had done. I had done three needle bind off. It had been a recent discovery after I had made the evening shrug. But it seemed the obvious thing to do. So that's what I did. And actually, when I came back to have to modify the hood a couple of weeks ago, I was really, really pleased that that was what I had done. Because all I had to do was unpick the end, and then I just ripped out X. I'd measured, I'd sort of put it on my son, and I'd measured how far too tall, if you like, the hood was. I think we decided about 2 inches. So I ripped back 2 inches of stitches, and what I was then left with was a lovely crest. If you imagine that if you were looking down on the top of the hood when it's open again, you've got, it's like an elongated jawline. And because I had done it on a circular needle originally, so it all worked, and what I'd ended up with was this lovely sort of crest of live needles, live stitches sitting out of the top of the hood after I'd ripped back. So I put them back on the needles, and then because I was on a circular needle, just pulled the cable out to the back. I had then effectively just two lines of live stitches again, and so again I bound off with the three needle bind off, so it looks nice and neat from the top. You can't tell that wasn't how I had originally done it. When I had done that, I checked that it fitted on my son, and it did. So then I stitched the edge of the hood back under on itself to create a tube, and I've put some ties through because he likes being able to pull. You know what small kids are like, he likes pulling it so tight all you can see is the tip of his nose. But the great thing was now it fits him properly, and he wore it the next day. I had to take him for a hospital appointment, nothing serious, and the first thing the consultant said was, wow, what a brilliant jumper. And I thought, oh good, thank you, it's all been worth it. The Rico sock stop. Well, I'll sort of come to that. I mentioned last week that I've started making the mistake braid socks for a friend of mine. This is the one where I had already shown her the mitts because I got too overexcited about them and felt I had to do something else as well. So for various reasons, all in last week's episode, I've settled on the mistake braid socks. And they're lovely. I've been really enjoying doing them, but I have been rushing a bit. Because obviously time is getting a bit short, and as she's a friend rather than a member of my family who's going to be in the house with me over Christmas, I've got to get these ready in time to be able to meet up with her a few days ahead and give them to her. I imagine probably we'll do that at the beginning of next week. So I haven't, it's partly that I've been in a rush, I've been really wanting to get them done, but also, and I don't know if you experience this as well, I have picked them up and put them down and picked them up again that many times that I think what I must have done is slightly lost track of my record keeping. I use an app on my phone called Knitting Row Counter, which is exactly what it says. It keeps track of your knitting rows. You can also program in how many rows are in a repeat. If you know you have to do 5 or 6 or 8 repeats or whatever, this will keep track of it for you automatically. I don't normally use that feature, but I have done, and it is quite handy. So I use that, and I'm normally pretty scrupulous about making sure that I tap on the screen every time I've completed a round. It remembers where you are. So next time I sit down to start knitting, I fire up Knitting Row Counter. I tried to see who the app designer was or coder was to give them a credit, but it's not in the app, unusually. So I can't. So I'm sorry, but if you did Knitting Row Counter, it's great, and I use it a lot. But I think what I must have done is not kept track somewhere along the line, because quite simply, I have ballsed up the cable at one point. Well, it is a cable, I suppose. Yes, it's a one direction cable. But the mistake is perfectly symmetrical. So on each side, I've made the same mistake in the same way as a perfect mirror image, which suggests to me that what I have done is I've just repeated a section, and the little pattern section is 6 rows, and I think what I've done is I've done the first 3 rows 2 times rather than doing the first 3 and then rows 4, 5, and 6. So although I know it's a mistake, in fact it just looks like a little design twiddle, which is quite well, comes out quite well. So because they are already the mistake braid socks and I have made another mistake, I think that makes them the mistake braid socks, or the double chocolate cookies of Christmas sock knitting. But I, because I've been in a hurry, I've done some silly things. At one point, as you may know if you've ever listened before to a sock episode, I knit my socks 2 at a time. And I don't like having separate balls of yarn. I tend to knit from each end of the same ball of yarn, which for me just results in less tangle for reasons I can't explain. I don't find it too much of a problem just to swizzle my ball of wool round a couple of times if the working yarn has just become a little bit twisted round on itself. It's no hassle because there's no actual knot. It's just a case of sort of hold it up and just let the ball of yarn go woo as it gets itself back straight again, which can be quite fun. And for the first time ever, a couple of nights ago, I knitted with the wrong working yarn, and I knitted my socks together, and I didn't realise for about a round and a half, and I suddenly realised, and thank goodness I found it funny, because I think otherwise at this stage you could just cry discovering you've got to redo it. But I had to tink back. I would never rip out with cable, I just find that too confusing, so I had to tink back a round and a half on 2 socks, but it wasn't too serious. And then yesterday I was knitting in the car waiting for my children to come out of school, and I realised that I was on a cable round, and I had put my cable stitches onto the cable, and I'd put it to the back, and I'd knitted the 3 stitches past it, and then I should have knitted the stitches from the cable needle, but I just kept knitting. And then I just realised, fortunately I hadn't gone very far, I'd only gone probably about 10 or 15 stitches on, I realised I had this cable needle dangling at the back of the sock with these poor lost and unloved stitches on. So I only had to tink back a few, but I think it's just an indication that I'm in a bit of a rush, and I'm not as consciously aware of what I'm doing, if you like. But anyway, so far it's all been rescuable to a greater or lesser extent. I'm going to have to leave in this unintentional design twiddle. And then I was thinking, what do you do if you're giving something to somebody and you know you've made a mistake, and for whatever reason you either haven't got time or you can't face the prospect of going back and sorting out this mistake? I mean, obviously, if it was a howler, I would have to go back and correct it, but I can get away with this mistake. But what do? Do you give it to your friend, especially if they're a knitter, and, even if they don't want to be critical, as in negative, they're looking at it with an understanding eye and they will notice things. Do you say, oh, look, I went wrong here because I did this, and then I made the wrong choice over here about how to do something for the heel and blah, 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 blah. What do you do? Or do you just say, here are your socks and I know you're going to love them? I don't know. My natural instinct is always to point out everywhere where I've gone wrong. But, perhaps I should try and grow out of that. now that I'm on the wrong side of 45, I don't know. On the soul, being me, of course, I have very fixed ideas about how I knit socks. And again, this time of year, I'm not looking to experiment. So I'm using the pattern for the top of the sock where the pattern is, as in the decorative pattern. But and I am following the instructions for the sole in as much as the stocking stitch is on the inside and the purl bumps are on the outside, which gives you a nice softness against the foot, and I think also possibly makes it a wee bit more hard wearing. I don't know, I'm imagining it does, because it looks a bit more roughy tufty. I'm imbuing it with powers of resistance that, you know, maybe it won't have, but I don't know what the instructions were for the heel. I didn't even look because I was doing a Flegal heel. And when, I mean, as with many sock patterns, you have to increase for the Flegal heel. And I made a silly decision about my increased stitches, which has slightly, it makes one edge of one sock on the sole look a wee bit chewed. And it's not a mistake. It's just, I should have just gone one stitch further in and then you wouldn't have noticed. So it's things like that. I'm sure the way that the heel is written in the pattern is great, and I'm sure it would have worked really well, but I just chose to do what I know, you know. And ultimately, because the places where there's something that I would prefer to look different, they're on the sole. And by the time she's worn them a lot and washed them a few times, they'll probably start to felt slightly anyway. So it's only really if she's sitting with her feet up and her husband says, "Oh, did Heather go wrong on that little bit on the sole?" Well, she can bore him with the details of how to choose where you do your increases. When I was talking to Caroline about making these socks for her, I asked if she wanted sticky bits on the sole. And she said, "Oh, yes, please." And I know I've seen for sale somewhere actual sticky patches, you know, dots and shapes and things like that. So that's what I was looking for. But for whatever reason, I've struggled to find them. And I was asking on Twitter, and the Little Wool Shop in Exeter, Twitter handle @shopwool, said that Rico does them. And I thought, oh, that's great. They don't sell, Shop Wool, Little Wool Shop, doesn't sell online. Normally, they don't have an online shop. But she said, oh, well, I'll take a picture, let you know exactly what it is, and then, you know, we can do it through PayPal. And I thought, terrific. Unfortunately, I didn't hear anything more from them. So instead, I took up an offer I was sent by a knitting friend, you know who you are, for Love Knitting, which was great. So that was 15% off. So I've bought this Rico sock stop. It's actually a gel, and you dot it onto the sole of the sock, and it dries, and it gives these little sticky bits. So I got that through the Love Knitting site. I've got green to go with the socks. I've also bought the row counter, which my mother wants as a stocking filler. I got two sizes for different size needles. But even though Little Wool Shop didn't get back to me, I was really touched that the person who runs it actually bothered to pick up on my query and make the offer. I should imagine this time of year they're snowed under, so we have relatives not too far from Exeter, but we're not planning to go down there for a little while, so sadly I don't get to Exeter. But if you do, nip into the Little Wool Shop, especially if you're looking for sock knitting supplies. And next time we go down to Colliton, I'll make a point of going into Exeter and putting my head in the door of the Little Wool Shop. So these socks, the end is in sight. I've turned the heel. I'm doing the calf. You don't do a rubbed kiff. Honestly, sorry, I'm very tired this morning and I'm struggling. You don't do a ribbed cuff on these socks. There's a rib in the pattern anyway. It's knit 3, purl 1. And then you've got your 9 stitch section, which has the pattern, the little braid pattern in it. So you don't actually do a smaller ribbed section. You just carry on with that up to the length that you want. So I've sort of decided that I've got to that slight, I don't know if you think of it like this, I've got to that kind of no man's land on the calf now, where I could cast off or I could do another 2 inches. It doesn't really make a lot of difference. But I think what I'm going to do is keep keep knitting up the leg until this sock stop arrives, and then that will be my cue to bind off and then put the stuff on the sole. I don't know how long it needs to dry, a few hours I should think, and then I'll be ready. I'll be ready to go and have a Christmas coffee. The other I've got some other socks on the go, yet more Soul Garden socks for my daughter because it's a winning formula. I've just chosen yet another colourway. I've got some pale blue Aran that fits nicely with the variegated Aran that I've got tons of. So I've just done her a version with the pale blue Aran toe, heel and cuff. And there again, they're also at that stage where I could probably start the cuff. So I'd like to think in the next couple of days I can get these two pairs of socks knocked on the head, and I'll make up for the little mistakes in the mistake braid socks by doing something really lovely with a Fair Isle pattern in it for my friend for her birthday. She has a summer birthday, but I think nonetheless I'll do something gloriously unseasonal. Just make sure I start knitting it about 2 months in advance. I saw today when I was looking for something else, I saw a nice... they called it a poncho. I think it's a bit short for a poncho. They're almost sort of shoulder warmers. It's like a teapot for your shoulders. So something you pull it over your head, it sits over your shoulders and it stops just above your elbow, and it's just a piece, and it just sort of warms up that sort of décolletage and top of the back slot. And they had that with matching hand warmers, and it had a Fair Isle pattern in it. So that's the sort of thing that I'll look at doing nearer the time. I have new yarn. I was planning to make a beanie with a TARDIS pattern on it for a Doctor Who Mad member of the family, and I spent ages last week going over colours, and I was talking to my husband, you know, what colours do you think she'd like, and three bags full, and I settled on silver for the main part of the beanie and a royal blue for the TARDIS, and I was sort of saying, oh, TARDIS, is it really royal blue? And I was told apparently it varies from doctor to doctor. So there you go. I didn't know that. Small piece of Doctor Who trivia for you. So anyway, royal seemed like a decent bet. I didn't have any anyway, so that's another little gap filled, because I certainly won't need the whole skein. And I was going to make the TARDIS beanie by Morgan Kenya Andrews, which is a free Ravelry download. But I woke up very early this morning, which is one reason why I'm tired. And I was turning it over in my mind, and again I thought, I think I've seen her wear a hat about twice ever. So I was sort of thinking, I don't know if she's going to wear it. And it's a shame to give somebody a present that they're not going to wear, because they sort of think they feel bad because they're not going to wear it. And you know, you think you could have made them something that would have been more useful to them. So I thought instead what I would do, as she spends a lot of time at the computer doing things, and I know that her flat is cold, I thought I would make instead some fingerless gloves. I'm going to use the same yarns that I'd bought for doing the hat. I probably have enough left over to do the hat actually afterwards if she wanted, but I've found that, well, as you know, I've mentioned before, if you've listened before, the little Houndale's wrist warmers have been quite a hit with me, but they're in DK. And obviously, of course, I've gone and bought Aran yarn because that was what the beanie pattern wanted. But there are squillions of Aran weight wrist warmer patterns on Ravelry. And I found a few. All I'm really looking for is the stitch count, because once I've got that for Aran, what I'm going to do is chart in little tardy sort of across the main part of the back of the hand, and just as a little fun motif really. So I'll do those in the royal. So I've found two or three that I like the look of, but I'm really only in them for the proportions, so I'll report back by this time next week. I'd like to think I might even have them made, but I'd certainly like to be well underway. I also have a hat to knit for my mother, but I know from experience that that will not take me more than a couple of evenings. So although I don't want to leave it till it's real last minute stuff, I do know that that's a known quantity. And again, I was searching sort of high and low for the right yarn for a hat for her, and she, like me, can suffer with wool. So I've got, again, I've got acrylic. I should call myself the acrylic knitter, not the ordinary knitter. And the yarn that I bought for the hat or wrist warmers is Stylecraft Special Aran. And the yarn I've bought for the hat is Stylecraft Carnival Chunky. So it's in a lovely combination of turquoise and a brighter purple and a darker purple. It's very variegated. I mean, even the strands where the colours essentially settled have two or three colours wound, spun together. So it will pick up with the colours my mother has in her hair and also the hats that she wears. I've been paying attention recently to the colours in the hats that she wears, and I think this will be a hit. So we'll see. And again, I know it's just going to take me a couple of days. And because she's not in the house with me, I can do that during the day. Once the children have broken up, I don't need to worry. I'm also planning to do a small pair of clog socks for my son. And my theory at the moment, looking at the yarns that I have, is to do the toe in a paler purple, the main body of the foot in a darker purple, and then, as I often do, and which is really easy with the Flegal heel, do the heel in a different colour, but then continue that colour for the ankle cuff. So they're sort of a two-tone purple. I've wanted to do that before with socks, but for some silly reason I've sort of thought, well, it might not work. But partly my son won't mind, and also the clog socks don't have a long cuff, they just have a little rolled cuff at the ankle rather than up on the calf. So if it doesn't work out terribly well, it's not a large design element, it's not sort of going to end up being half the sock. So it'll be an interesting, I'll be interested to see how that works out, and so I can plan it for future socks. New to me. This is the new section that I've introduced recently, where I don't know if it'll be every week, depends how often new things crop up, but this is where I just briefly mention knitting related things that I've never heard of before. And this year it's knitting advent calendars. There are knitted advent calendars, I've seen many of them, but we have a couple of Father Christmases that do the job. The children have one each and it has little pockets, and I have to do them a treasure hunt, and it can be quite fun for the first couple of days of December, but honestly by now I'm usually at the stage of wishing I'd never begun, especially as my teenager is getting a bit cool for school and she doesn't always bother to do it. But something I've seen, especially on Instagram, is advent calendars that have a little tiny skein of yarn, and I've tried to get an idea of the scale, and I can't tell how much. I mean, it's got to be a certain amount to be worth it, but that's a huge object of desire for next year. Can you imagine the thrill of getting new yarn every day for 24 days? But then I thought, oh no, if I got new yarn every day, I'd probably be feeling, ah, now I've got to do something with it, you know, feel this terrible responsibility. If my mother sometimes gives me bulbs or a small plant or something, and obviously I say all the right things, but I'm also thinking, ah, now I've actually got to go and find the trowel. Where on earth did I leave the trowel? And I've got to find a bit of garden to dig up, and I've got to do this before the poor thing dies, you know. It's approaching it all the wrong way around, really. But anyway, I just thought they looked like fun. I've not come across them before this year, and I might have to start dropping some heavy hints from late October next year. Thank you very much for joining me. I hope your Christmas knitting is going well. I'm intending at this stage to release a podcast next week. I was doing some planning earlier for Christmas, and as long as I keep on top of things, I should not be too pushed. So that's the theory. If it doesn't happen, I'm sure you'll not notice in your own whirl of activity to get everything ready. I'd like to wish you a very Merry Christmas, just in case I don't drop in next week, and a very Happy New Year. And pretty much everybody I know is looking for 2017 to be a much happier year than 2016 has been. But I'm hoping to drop in before then. That's the intention. And as we all know, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Bye.